All right, we're now here with Tyson Hoff, who is one of the many artists that are performing and exhibiting Saturday, September 19th at Groundswell at the Alana State Historic Site. Overlooking the Rip Van Winkle Bridge, Alana State Historic Site. Saturday, September 19th, Groundswell also features John Cage Trust with Seth Chrisman, John Cleeter, Brian DeWan, Gambletron, Bernard Klug, Lovid, Douglas Repetto, and Quintron. And now Tyson Hoff is here in the Wave Farm studio.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tyson. How are you doing this
morning? I'm good. Thanks for having me here. Right off the bat, I think it's really cool that this year's Groundswell has a good portion of local folks involved in it, which is really cool.
And are you have you been to Alana before, or?
Yes, I went to Groundswell last year, and I've been going up for the last couple of weeks doing research, and kind of got a bird's eye view of the whole place. So after going to Groundswell last year, I really, really wanted to take part in it. So my wish came true.
Is that the idea for your project? Is that to get a bird's eye view of Alana?
Sort of, kind of. It's kind of a transformation from human into quasi-animal, I guess, some kind of animal thing. Really rooted in the idea of the old what-if comic books from the 70s. What if, you know, far-out things happened, and what if Frederick Church had a oddball species of bird that he picked up somewhere along the way, possibly in Mexico, because he spent a lot of time in Mexico, and he brought it home and raised it, and it being the last of its kind, as he passed, he let the bird go, and it innately knew to nest on his property and stay there. So I'm building a nest, and I'm going to be that species, and I will transform. So suspension of disbelief.
Sort of. Wow.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but and I've been doing some research up there with Valerie, and if you're listening, thank you so much for all your time, Valerie. She brought me a stack of information and sat down with me the first 5 minutes, and she said, "I don't really know what you want, but I brought you a bunch of stuff." And going into the research, I didn't really know what I wanted either, so everything she brought was I could utilize. So and I noticed as I was looking at the texts and things, I was really drawn to his pencil sketches, which I heard Brian DeWan talking about the other day, the whimsical kind of dashed off pencil sketches of birds and servants and trees and waves and mountains and icebergs and things like that. So I like to go from the fine art down to the scratchy pencil work, and that's sort of the vibe I'm going to kind of be embodying is scratchy.
And he's got his outside art, too. I mean, he designed Central Park, and he designed those paths around the house to be special in that that way. So there's all kinds of layers there.
The landscape is an artwork in itself, and considering the time that it was built, the first time I was up there last year, I immediately thought of the people power involved in getting the stone and the wood up that hill. It must have been something. So now you could get excavators and things and build that. It wouldn't be a big deal. But back then, it's quite a feat for the time period and the size and scope of the project. Truly mind-boggling. Really cool stuff. So I'm going to reflect on the landscape. And I have this really cool zone with the tree. If anybody's been there, it's this tree. It's kind of magical. It looks like a page out of a storybook, which is another kind of vibe I'm trying to embody, is sort of like a living storybook where there's this creature and the landscape. It's just fantastical. So hopefully I will transform into something semi-fantastical, and it will be a success.
And do you have a view, or are you deep in the woods?
No, I'm not deep in the woods. I do sort of have a view. It's really quite a spot. So I'll be kind of lurking around and just transforming into the bird and imagining that I live there, and I've lived there, and I will continue to live there for who knows how long, and I'm the last of my species, which is kind of a neat thing. So it's, again, it's like a suspension of disbelief. Hopefully it will be mildly enchanting and rooted kind of in mime with my movements, and very sort of, I'll be silent, but I'll have recorders with pre-recorded sounds that will be kind of you know.
I can't tell. Is this going to be more like the movie The Fly, or is this going to be kind of like Big Bird seeing his imaginary friend Snuffleupagus?
Oh, Snuffleupagus.
It's going to be more like that?
No, I don't know. I always thought, just a side note, Snuffleupagus always sounded like he was talking through a telephone, and I thought that was really kind of cool.
Well, he had a very long honker there.
But the the way they recorded his voice, it actually sounded like, you know.
It came through that long honker.
I don't know. It's somewhere in between there. It's not. It's definitely not too much like The Fly. It's. I think it's sort of like a. It's daydream. It's daydreamy, if that's a term I can use.
More than nightmare, it's a daydream.
It's not nightmarish at all. I think at first, the way I presented it, it may have seemed a little ghastly, but actually, as everything comes together, fabrics I'm using for my costume, my wings, they're rusting. I made them out of galvanized roofing, and I torch cut them. And I've been putting salt and lemon juice and urinating on them to expedite the oxidation. And I have a whole head covering and wraps. I'll be completely, you'll see no Tyson's flesh at all. I'll just be completely. So it's more rooted in, I think, kind of a lowbrow theater more than anything. Kind of maybe in tune a little bit with Bread and Puppet, which I'm sort of enchanted by.
So birds are known for their song. Are you going to be singing too?
I will be reacting to already sung bird song. So I have I think I have a tape over here. It's got some of my...
We didn't bring the tape up, yeah.
Check. This is... I'll be kind of moving around. This is my primary, not this particular tape, but I have tapes I've been working on, and I'm tweaking them down to the perfect one, but I'll be kind of miming to my already recorded songs. That way I don't have to think about any vocalizations at all, and I can just completely get into movement. And not being a dancer, I'm going to be a dancer. So I'm going to try to be graceful, and I've been working on my movements and watching it. Mesoamerican shamans and Native American shamans get into the bird garb and dance around. And so
you're rooting this performance in historical... there may have been Native Americans at that site. Different points in history.
So given that, before church, before we were here, I mean, this area was populated, so hopefully I can conjure up a little magic and sort of be a medium between the spirits of the land, church's vision, being in love with church because I was his pet, and it's fiction, but I fancied myself his favorite pet, and he did have lots of pets. He had a parrot that he was quite fond of.
It was that age where you went and procured these animals from different places in the world and brought them back to a...
Mm-hmm. He had a
to
parrot.
To infest the areas where they weren't really supposed to belong.
Infest. I like that. I'm the last of my kind, so it's kind of cool. There might be another one lurking around somewhere, but I'm flightless too, obviously. I should throw that out. I'm a flightless bird, kind of ostrichy or those big birds that are just too big to fly. Big Bird, again. A flightless bird. I don't think he has wings, Big Bird, unless they're really tiny and tight.
I think that they don't have much of a span. He doesn't really stretch them out because he really would hurt somebody.
You know, another tangent side note, but I remember coming down to the station probably early 2013, late 2012, and you were there, and we briefly talked about Sesame Street, and then you had business to conduct. But I remember it was such a professional conversation about...
I have more conversations about Sesame Street than you could imagine.
I'm sure you do, but it was kind of something I took away, and I thought, wow, you know, here's two kind of quote-unquote big kids, kind of, or adults.
How many Sesame Street records do you have?
I have a lot of Sesame Street records. Probably not as many as you, but I have them without cardboards, and so they're just kind of all over the place.
I don't have the Oscar. I have the Oscar record, but I don't have the... I don't think I have the sleeve for the Oscar.
I have the sleeve. I found it. At a flea market, I think, or something. It was like a quarter. It's a little torn up,
but it's never in good condition. Yeah,
no. But that's kind of part of the charm, is that they're all thrashed and they've been loved by who knows how many little hearts and minds. So yeah, it's kind of rooted in the idea of what's possible and you know, suspension of disbelief. Definitely not so much horrific like The Fly. If anything, I'm maybe embodying it in the genre of that spooky stuff, maybe the mood of the Hammer films, which is a lot of mummy wraps and just ambience, not blood and guts or anything like that. So it'll be actually surprisingly upbeat, because I think I do things that are not so upbeat and might be reputed for doing things that are not so upbeat. So,
what other art pieces can you describe? Other pieces you've done in the past, so that people get an idea what sort of artist you are.
I work with. Well, I'm going to throw this out too. I really subscribe to the Minutemen's idea of working econo, kind of doing it cheap. I work with mostly junk. The only thing I really purchase is my paints and welding rod. I do a lot of stuff with steel, so I salvage. I'm working with railroad spikes right now. I'm building towers out of railroad spikes. But so really organic, rusted sort of things, and working econo is everything I find. You know, I find a Picasso print in a frame on cardboard, and I'll take that and paint over it and make my own little masterpiece over that. So a cardboard, and so... hard to explain. I don't know. Quintron, real quick. I saw Quintron in New Orleans like 20 years ago, opening for Crash Worship, and it was Miss Pussycat was with them, and they were doing their thing, and it was like really amazing. So I'm really tickled to be in league with Quintron.
That was back in the days of the Drum Buddy. Now he has the Weather Warlock. He's bringing that is this sensor thing that takes input from the weather conditions and turns it into sound.
He's brilliant. I'd love to see him evolving like that, but I can't wait to tell him. I saw you 20 years ago, and it was one of the best things I've ever seen, Crash Worship, Quintron, and Flossie the Unicorn, a small band. They were just kind of a weird collective. But so, yeah, I'm tickled to be involved in Groundswell this year. I went last year to help Jane Carver and McKendree Key do their Banshee, and I shot the arrow off the balcony. It was quite a day. I was climbing trees, hanging
zip. You shot an arrow off the balcony at Alana. Wow.
Right.
And did you hit anyone?
Nobody was down there, and okay, I'm a crummy shot. So I can't remember actually who shot the shot that got the arrow to go where it was supposed to go, but I had to climb trees to trim them so that the zip line could go down. And then once they loaded their CD player with the Banshee loop, and it was this thing that slid down the zip line, and it was a screaming Banshee. As soon as I heard that and I was standing in the woods after climbing the trees, I thought, I really, really want to take part in this event, because if we can do this, the possibilities are endless. So I get to do it. So I'm pretty tickled. And I think in terms of birds that I would be inspired by, it would be ravens and crows and carrion birds, because the title of the program is Ionosphere Ricochet Carrion. And that's another thing, is it's all just coming to me. This bird feeds on leftover radio waves. I know it's probably an impossibility, but it's a what if. So as the radio waves bounce, come back, and they just go all around, this bird can feed on them. So one of my tape loops is going to be lost radio waves, ghostly radio waves. So
no, that sounds really good. That most I just, there's not that much in literature or in art about mostly when people talk about radio waves and where they go when they're done, it's like all about they go out into space and they're gone forever, and you know, aliens hear them 200 million years later or something. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea of eating up the
right
old messages.
He devours them, and I'm not sure how the actual process works, how he turns it into food, or it turns it into food. It's kind of genderless, but I was really inspired by the Voyager 2. I found this for a dollar at a pharmacy. The Voyager 2 recordings, the external mic on the Voyager probe that picked up lost radio waves, and they sounded like there were these drones, and who the heck knows how old they are or what they are. And I was thinking, the possibility there, you know? So I thought, we'll keep it here instead of it going outside the ionosphere. We'll keep it here. And not being a scientist, I'm not up on the entire... I learned a lot from a poster at the station in Hudson about it has the whole spectrum.
Yeah,
so my tenure at WGXC has been educational, and hopefully this creature can continue to feed on these radio waves and sustain itself.
And if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Tyson Hoff, who's among the artists at Groundswell, Saturday, September 19th, from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Alana State Historic Site, overlooking the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. Is there a name for this piece, or does the bird itself have a name?
No, I'm kind of calling it Ionosphere Ricochet Carrion, because the radio waves ricochet off and come back, as I understand, and it's sort of a carrion bird, so it's sort of feeding on, I don't know if those radio waves are dead, but it considers them dead, and it's, however it was created, that's what it does.
And you've got a nod to the dinosaurs that have roamed previously through the Hudson Valley, I guess, because the birds evolved from dinosaurs, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely enough. So native peoples, dinosaurs going way back in church. So it's kind of a history of an abstract history of life.
In the Hudson Valley.
In the Hudson Valley. And the zone is magical. And hopefully my nest, I'm building a one-to-one scale nest. It'll be quite large. I'm still working at the logistics of transplant.
So it's a Snuffleupagus-sized nest.
He could get in that nest, I think, for sure. That would be... I would love to be in the nest with big old Snuffleupagus. Another thing I'd like to throw out is I think almost all the wood that I collected is piles of wood from Hurricane Irene, because I live on the Catskill Creek, so I've been scavenging the creek for quite a while.
Is it driftwood?
Driftwood. And then that's going to be fashioned into quite a nest, and I've got a mountain of it. I really don't know how I'm going to get it down there yet. I'm working that out, so, and that's been sort of a meditation. As I go to the creek daily to take my bath, I'll walk down and grab as much as I can carry home. So it's like a daily, and when it's over, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, not having to go find driftwood. So it's become sort of something I'm kind of...
You have to start making teepees or something.
I'll reuse it. So yeah, it's kind of a nod to that too, because that really drastically changed the creek. It carved it out, and there's mountains of material, and I live at a bend in the creek, so it really came and hit hard. There was trailers, and it was pretty wild. So that's something that I'm kind of tuning into too, is Mother Nature kind of...
It sounds like it's a very weather-oriented groundswell this year, as your piece interacts with the weather, and Quintron senses the weather to make sounds, and John Cleeter's piece puts augmented reality into the site, and I think maybe a storm might be blowing through in his piece.
I don't know what he's going to do. I haven't seen him. I'm kind of really interested to see what he's going to do, because he's a pretty heavy dude. So, and Lovid, I know those guys from... we had dinner with them one night. They have they live sometimes not too far from us, about 5 minutes. So Kyle and Tolly, we went up and had dinner and drank a little beer and played with kids. It was
up in Durham.
Yeah, that was, and I saw that they're on the bill. And this is really cool. I know probably a good portion of these folks this year. So, and I've been hearing some. Were you playing Bernd Klug last night? Was that?
That's right. Yes, we had an interview with Bernd. He's been at Bard actually this summer at the MFA program. Just finished with that, so he's back in Brooklyn now.
Was he doing the stuff with the bass?
Yes, he performs with the bass generally, yes. He's actually doing a stringed, some sort of stringed kind of alien harp in the woods there.
We, my friend and I came out of a concert, and that was on, and our heads were already blown, and we turned that on, and it was really, really cool. So I'm very jazzed to be taking part in this. And Gambletron, I've been researching Gambletron. Very cool stuff. Very cool stuff. So hopefully what I do does enchant a little bit. And for me, it's a borderline of, is it going to be ridiculous or is it going to be magical? So, and I think it's going to be kind of magical. I don't mean to sound arrogant, but I'm hoping, because I'm putting a lot of thought into it and trying different costume pieces on, and all the fabric is recycled and old sheets and bleached and dyed. And so
what is it, there's a fine line between clever and stupid. No, that's
what I'm afraid of, Tom.
That's
what I'm afraid of. But I don't really know what I'm not a good gauge of that line, so I'm just gonna throw caution to the wind and and try to fly with wings full of holes. And I've been observing, I had an experience about 15 years ago. I lived in Florida and was heading over to the, I was heading west, and it's just a straight shot from Orlando or Kissimmee, and I hit a vulture. It flew right into the windshield, and it went over the car, skidded, stopped, got out, went and looked at it. And it was lying in the road, and it hadn't quite passed yet. It was kind of going through its last gasps. And its wingspan was what my arms are open. And I got to look at it 12 inches from it, and it was really a magical, kind of a wild experience. So I remember that, and I think that this might be rooted in that a little bit, because I felt really bad about killing that bird. But I actually called a taxidermist right away and asked him if he would process it, and it's illegal to do that, so I had to let it die. But maybe this is
so a little... a requine. How do you say that word?
Requine? Is that the word?
I don't know.
Vultures, they're kind of hideous, but they're actually kind of beautiful at the same time. And I think that that's what I realized as I'm looking at it, and it was dying, and it was looking at me, is its wings were wide open, and I got a chance to look at the way it was laid out, the way the feathers were laid out, lack of hair on the head, the way nature had created that. And you don't usually get to see vultures, or if you do, it's kind of hideous, because they're, you know, ripping guts out of something on the side of the road, and it's kind of, you know. But to see it under those circumstances was kind of a powerful... You know, like when Jim Morrison was behind the truckload of Indians and it tipped over. Remember, you ever tell that story? And I felt that the soul jumped out of one of those Indians into me. No, not that corny, but it was kind of a heavy, heavy experience to be able to look at a vulture that close. So I'm tapping into that, Tom. So
well, maybe there'll be some vultures or eagles flying overhead. You'll often see...
The eagles are coming back.
...around there.
Do you guys see many here? This is quite a...
Not too many. We see a lot of hawks out here. But I think closer to the river, the eagles find more prey.
Mm-hmm. This feels like the Starship Enterprise up here. Like, this is where we're sitting, a couple flights up. And but... So, turn out for Groundswell, September 19th, Saturday, 1 to 5.
And what is it called? Interstellar... No, what is it?
Ionosphere.
Ionosphere.
Ricochet Carrion. I tried to kind of come up with something a little less cumbersome, but I guess the title's not really. But
all right, well, go out with a little of your bird sounds, I guess.